music is the divine way to tell beautiful, poetic things to the heart. The gift to be cherished most of all is that of life itself. One's work should be a salute to life. Music, this marvelous universal language understood by everyone everywhere, ought to be a source of better communication among men. This is why I make a special appeal to my fellow musicians everywhere, asking each of them to put the beauty of his art at the service of mankind. To live is not enough. We must take part. These are all quotes from Pablo Casals, a Spanish-born, Catalan, and Puerto Rican cellist, composer, and conductor. Now, Catalans are a Romance-speaking ethnic group native to Catalonia, an autonomous community in northeast Spain. Casals is widely considered to be the greatest cellist of all time. He was also a lifelong defender of democracy, human rights, peace, and national self-determination, honored with the United Nations Peace Medal in 1971. Casals began his concerts by playing a traditional Catalan Christmas carol and lullaby, which he also considered a symbol of freedom and peace. El Cant dels Ocells, is that how you say it? I don't know. On November 13th, 1961, he performed at the White House by invitation of President Kennedy at a dinner given in honor of the first democratically elected governor of Puerto Rico. So that music that we heard earlier was his signature song and his encore that night, Carol of the Birds. Speaking of this carol, Casals famously stated that the birds sing peace, peace, peace. Incidentally, fellow peace activist Joan Baez included this carol in her 1966 best-selling Christmas LP, Noel, with a dedication to Casals. My hope is that music and birds will help us to better understand some deep scriptural truths and to more deeply experience the love of God today. Music is a language understood by everyone, from the tiniest babies to seniors struggling with advanced memory loss. Birds live and travel the globe on land and sea. There are an estimated 50 to 400 billion wild birds and 22 to 30 billion domesticated birds in the world today. Now, because Paul and I have lived in the same neighborhood for 36 years, I know I am used to our birds, so much so that I don't necessarily always hear them every day. Now, research into auditory adaptation shows that as time progresses, we tend to adapt to sounds and tend to distinguish them less frequently after a while. Many people end up tuning out noises like traffic, passing trains, and washing machines. So when we were in the thick of raising our children, I only traveled outside the country once in a 24-year period. Now, when I travel somewhere far away where the bird life is vastly different, guess what I always notice first? The local birds, cawing, cooing, croaking, chirping, warbling, whistling, whinnying, trilling, tweeting, hooting, laughing, buzzing, screeching, drumming, or painting. Look it up. Their many and varied sounds are new and unusual, so I hear them loud and clear, and they truly touch my soul every time. Now, we don't have time to explore all the scriptural references to creation today, but we are going to look at some of the 300 plus mentions of birds in the Bible. Birds are mentioned quite a few times in Genesis, starting with the very first chapter of the Bible in Genesis 1, verses 20, 21, 22. Let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. God created every winged bird of every kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, let birds multiply on the earth. And later in that same chapter, God said in verses 29 and 30 of Genesis chapter 1, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every bird of the air I have given every green plant for food. In the second chapter of Genesis, it tells us that out of the ground the Lord God formed every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And then in the pre- and post-flood narratives, God instructed Noah concerning the protection of birds, to keep them alive, to keep their kind alive on the face of all the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth, even entrusting the care of birds into humanity's hand. God is both creator and sustainer of all that there is, and God assures us of his intimate awareness of his creation. In Psalm 50, verse 11, God assures us, I know all the birds of the air. Now, while we insult the intelligence of birds or other creatures, maybe people, with the term bird-brained, the Bible actually honors birds as sources of knowledge and wisdom. Job 12, 7, 9, and 10 tells us, ask the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Who among these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of every human being. Many passages throughout the Old Testament make mention of human flesh being eaten by birds. Now, as hard as that is to hear that kind of thing, some birds are simply scavengers and serve as a kind of natural sanitation service. Birds make a vital contribution to the keeping of several Old Testament laws and commandments. In Leviticus 1 and 5, we see instructions for burnt offerings and sin offerings, noting that if birds are brought to the Lord, they must be turtle doves or pigeons. Leviticus 14 describes processes involving birds, which were required for the cleansing of various skin diseases or for the cleansing of a house. God chose birds as his special messengers when he sent the prophet Elijah to live in a rainless place. God promised to provide for Elijah in 1 Kings 17:4. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. God's presence evokes a response from more than just people, as we see in Ezekiel 38:20. The fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the animals of the field and all creeping things that creep on the ground and all human beings that are on the face of the earth shall quake at my presence. God makes covenants, which are alliances, with more than just people, as we see in Hosea 2:18. I will make for you a covenant on that day with the birds of the air. Birds are often referenced in biblical figurative and apocalyptic language because both bird behavior and human behavior towards birds are observable to all and commonly understood everywhere. Here are three short examples. Psalm 102:7 says, I lie awake. I am like a lonely bird on the housetop. Proverbs 27:8, like a bird that strays from its nest, is one who strays from home. Ecclesiastes 9:12, like birds caught in a snare, so mortals are snared at a time of calamity. And Jesus' teachings include mentions of birds in his parable of the sower and his parable of the mustard seed. Jesus encourages us to consider the birds whenever we are tempted to worry. Jesus assures us that God feeds the birds, so we can trust God to provide for us too. For me, one of the most significant references to birds in the Bible is something else that Jesus said, as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. So for context, Jesus has just spoken six woes to the scribes and Pharisees, not as condemnations or curses, but as acknowledgments of what needed to change. They had been focusing on the wrong things, religion and legalism. Jesus wants them to understand the most important things, the most important thing, which is the love of God. He knew that they couldn't give away that which they had yet to receive. And after all, love is an action. You can hear the longing and even the pain in Jesus' voice as he says in Matthew 23:37, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Jesus chooses the image of a hen, a mother in nature, seen and understood well by his audience. It was common knowledge that hens gather their chicks under their wings for warmth, nurture, comfort, and protection, especially when they are most vulnerable. Jesus wants us to know that this is how God longs for each of us. Our Creator, Savior, and Lord is also our Comforter. God longs that we would receive from him warmth, nurture, comfort, and protection. And just as chicks don't know what they need, we don't really know what we need either. We aren't completely clueless, but how often do we try to warm, nurture, comfort, or protect ourselves, forgetting to lean into the Lord and let him love us? In Isaiah 66:13, the Lord assures us, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. How often do we try to do it all by ourselves, and forget that God has placed us in a family, the family of God? 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 calls to us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. Whenever I think of God being our comforter, I often return to Deuteronomy 33:12. The beloved of the Lord rests in safety. The high God surrounds him all day long. The beloved rests between his shoulders. Some of my most precious memories are those with my children in their earliest years. Young children experience distress for many reasons and do not have either understanding or language to be able to clearly communicate their troubles. Whenever one of my sons or daughters were distressed, I would scoop them up in my arms, hold them securely in my embrace, let them rest with their head on my shoulder, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, all the while singing a sweet lullaby over them. Sometimes the lullaby I sang over my children was a familiar song. Often I made up the tune as we rocked and embraced, with the words simply emerging from the present circumstances. Whether the words changed or not, everything else remained the same. The sameness of the melody, the rocking, and the embrace created space in which to relax by degrees, to release distress, to receive devotion, and to rest deeply. The melody went on, the rocking went on, the embrace went on, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Eventually, the sweet lullaby calmed my child, and they were able to drift off to sleep. These two images, that of a mother hen tenderly tucking her cluster of chicks under her wings, and that of a parent embracing a beloved child on their shoulder, help us to understand how God enfolds us. We are God's beloved children. You are God's beloved child. God ever invites us to know and experience the presence, attention, and love of God. We are ever enfolded in the eternal embrace, the Trinitarian dance of love and joy and peace and rest. In God's embrace, we are filled and sent out to then offer the presence, attention, and love of God to the world. Today, I believe the Lord is beckoning us to come to Jesus in all of our most vulnerable places, the places where we are carrying distress. It takes time to relax, to release, to receive, and to rest. And the reality is that we have been through so much, dear brothers and sisters, in recent months and even years in our little congregation. Let's resist the temptation to minimize the reality and the pain in our lives, which is, the reality is, we have each suffered a lot of distress. Never mind the unbearable weight of the difficulties out there in the news, in our country, and around the world. Let's get personal here. We have all suffered the loss of loved ones. Some of us are dealing with chronic, long-term situations, either personally or with those close to us, whether to do with dreadful diagnoses, difficult disabilities, or other physical or mental health conditions. Most of us have experienced relational brokenness, and all of these things have a tendency to sap our strength and to hamstring our hope. The good news is that the Lord is present today to heal and to restore. May we allow the Holy Spirit to warm, nurture, comfort, and protect us right here, right now. May the Lord, through this Christmas carol that we're going to look at today, lull us into a place of peace as the good news washes over us. I love this Christmas carol so much. The soothing, repeated melody and the lyrics intertwine, continually drawing us upward like the birds in joy and adoration. This song seeks to tell the whole story of the good news of Jesus, and it is the humble birds whose cries and flutterings we often ignore who invite us to enter into the wonder and the beauty of encountering the Messiah. Can I get someone to help me hand these out? And Tamara and I are going to sing and play. And you are welcome to participate through singing or through silence. Like I said, this is a lullaby. If you want to, you can close your eyes and just listen to the words and let the Lord heal you as you participate that way. God is with us in every conceivable way and in every breath we take. So I pray that through this carol, we would each receive God's telling of beautiful, poetic things to our hearts. I pray that this lullaby would soothe and restore us, that we would experience afresh the power and the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray for each of us to receive God's grace to allow each of us to be able to relax by degrees, to release distress, to receive devotion, and to rest deeply. Come to Jesus. So I invite you now to enter fully into the beauty and wonder of the Carol of the Birds.
On this most blissful night, emerges a great light and fills the sky with splendor. Birds come with joyful voice to carol and rejoice with songs so sweet and tender. The eagle does arise, flies high into the sky to tell the wondrous story. Since Jesus born is he, from sin all are set free. He brings immortal gladness. The sparrow perceive
Lord, we thank you so much for your tender, loving care, for your presence that is always with us, and how easily we forget when we're in times of trouble. Thank you for the gift of these humble birds who remind us in every day, if we have eyes to see and hear, ears to hear, that you are our provider, you are our comforter, you are the lover of our souls. You are our very present help in times of trouble. Help us to hear your word, even when given by unlikely messengers, such as humble birds in this song, to remember to gaze in wonder, adoration, and just awe at your beauty, at your glory, at your majesty. Jesus, we're in the celebration, the season of Advent, as we are anticipating your arrival. You have already come. You are here and you will come again. So we ask you, Lord, to help us to pay attention to what you whisper to us, to what you show us, and then to be faithful witnesses. I've seen the Lord. Look, taste, touch, see. Feel the Lord is with you. The Lord is with us. So we go out now with joy. We go forward with peace. We just ask, Lord, for your blessing and for your grace. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit and help us to always remember your great love and to pass it on. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.